you guys are in for a real treat. Guy that's coming up as a good friend of a lot of us. He's been around Athey for a long time. And right now he's on staff and doing a bunch of stuff. High school ministry, junior high, helps out in the kids ministry. He knows multiple languages, and even languages he doesn't know, he impersonates and does the accents really extremely well. Just a multi-talented guy. Let's hear it. A big Athey Creek welcome for Mr. Micah DePauley.
Oh, what a warm welcome. That was amazing. Thank you. Like James said, I am not Brett Metter, as you can tell. I am the fun size, travel size version of Brett Metter. I mean, I've always been that way. I've always been, you know, the small, you know, geeky kind of guy. You know, you might not look at it right now, but I mean, I've always been, you know, the geeky kind of guy. Ever since I was small, just growing up, you know, computers, I just love them, that kind of stuff. But man, it just reminds me of, when I was small, I used to be the kind of guy that during recess, I wouldn't go out and play with other kids. I'd sit down with a book and read during recess. And you're like, what kind of kid would sit down during recess? I mean, I was just that kind of kid. And you look at me now, I'm like, I cannot even finish a book now. I mean, I just can't read. But man, I used to just love reading. And one day, I finished this book. I even forget what it was, but I just finished this book, and I was like, man, I should just go out and try something new. I should just go out and try to, you know, play a game or something. And, you know, it was just boggling my mind. I'm like, why would I do that? But I'm just going to go do it. So I jumped in a game of Foursquare. And, you know, me, I wasn't that athletic. You know, I was just, you know, a geeky little kid. I wore, like, button-up shirts, stripes, you know, bowl cut, big round glasses. I mean, if you looked at me, I looked like, you know, Where's Waldo kind of thing. And, you know, I went and tried to play Foursquare. And, you know, I'm just trying my hardest. And how we played is if the ball hit your square and went out, you just go after it. You know, that's just kind of, you know, the unwritten rule. You just go after it. So it was just a rainy day. Just pouring, muddy. And the ball hits in my square and just goes flying out towards the playground. I'm like, oh great, I have to go out in the rain. So I try and chase after it, you know, this geeky, gangly kid just trying to chase after this red ball before it goes into the rain. And man, I just can't get there in time. So it goes out in the rain, and you know, I'm just like, oh, you know, I can't let everyone down. I can't just lose this red ball. I have to go out and get it. And so here I am. I just zoom out in the rain. Mud flying everywhere. I go like 3 feet from the ball and I flip right on my back. Right on my back. Mud everywhere. And I'm just like, oh my goodness. Why is this happening to me? Why, Lord? Why is this happening to me? I'm just like, you know, this small kid, the geeky kid, now covered in mud, trying his hardest. I'm just like, oh, why is this happening? I'm never playing sports again. But, So I go into class and my teacher's like, Micah, you need to go clean up. I'm like, why? I'm a kid, you know, I'm a geeky kid, but I'm a boy. So, you know, whatever, it's dirt. So I'm just like, I don't need to go clean up. She's like, Micah, you're getting my chairs dirty. Go clean up. So I'm like, all right. So I go in this bathroom and I start cleaning up and this other kid comes in. One of my best friends, his name was Nolan. And, he was my best friend now. Then I just didn't know him. And so he comes in the bathroom and he has a bloody nose and blood all gushing down his shirt. I mean, it was like a white shirt too, so you just see it perfectly. I was like, sweet, this is awesome. But, so here's this guy. He comes in. I'm like, I don't know this guy, you know. So I just, you know, keep to myself, keep washing myself off, you know, dusting myself off. And, you know, we get to talk and, you know, we find similarities between all of us and just we become great friends. I'm like, when I look back at that, you know, I think, man, that was like one of the worst times of my life. Got embarrassed, covered in mud, you know, all this different stuff. But then when I go back and look at it, I'm like, man, Lord, you totally just brought that friend to me in that situation. You know, someone who's kind of going through the same thing, but also, man, it was a bad situation, but it just comforted me through those bad situations. So that's what we're going to look at today is just, man, why does the Lord do certain things in our life throughout different things? So if you guys will open with me to Jeremiah 29. So in Jeremiah 29, we're going to be in verse 11, just a short little verse, but it's just kind of impacted me in a big way throughout my life. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end or hope and a future." And, you know, sometimes I read that and I'm just like, man, what are you talking about, Lord? Like, you think thoughts towards me and they're of good, but man, bad things are happening to me. What are you talking about? Good. But the thing is, we can't always see what the Lord is working out right now as opposed to in the future and what he will do through that situation that's happening right now, whether it be good or bad. And, you know, it just kind of makes me think of what things in my life right now are, you know, the will of God, the will of the Father. You know, I just kept thinking, like, is it the will of God that I have a dog? Like, I mean, a dog is cool, but is it really, you know, that necessary? And, you know, I kept thinking of, like, just different things. I'm like, this dog, Duke, gives me so much joy and so much entertainment that, you know, if I'm just, like, oh, depressed, I'm just stressed out or anything, you know, one look at him and he's just like, I'm like, oh, calm down, buddy. Man, this dog just gives me so much joy and just so much entertainment and, just teaches me things, you know, even that I forgot about, you know, from foundations of the word. And you're just like, how can a dog teach you that kind of stuff? Well, my dog is funny. My dog chases light. You're like, yeah, my dog does too. But I mean, he goes after that light and he won't stop until the light is turned off. Sometimes I just leave the light just shining on the ceiling and I'll just see him sitting there just staring at it, foaming at the mouth, trying to get it, and just he'll just sit there forever. It's kind of awesome. But man, it just, I get a laser pointer or something and I just shine it on the floor. He goes after it. I mean, he'll just attack that light, even though, you know, you can't really catch the light. There's no possible way you can do that. And it's kind of like a good picture for me of like how we should follow the word and follow after God. Sure. We can't fully comprehend God and fully understand him right now on earth, but we can still go after him with all of our strength, with all of our might and all this different stuff. And just, it's just a good picture of, you know, man, the will of God just through my dog shows me something. And it's just cool to kind of just have that mindset of, you know, what is the Lord doing in my life right now? You know, when I got my dog, he was, you know, this small, tiny puppy. And they're like, you know, he's 10 months old. You know, he'll grow, but not much bigger than that, you know. I'm like, okay, he's going to be a nice, you know, decent-sized dog. And he just kept growing and growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. And so now, you know, he used to curl up on my lap and be all nice. Oh, Duke, you know, now he takes up a whole couch cushion. And, you know, he usually like slept on my bed a couple times, you know, keep my feet warm, you know, just all the girls like, oh yeah. But now he puts his feet against the wall and he puts his back against me and pushes me off the bed. I'm like, this is my bed. He's like, no, you don't live here anymore. This is my bed. I mean, just simple things like that where the Lord just, you know, gives me just joy and entertainment through this, you know, just this tiny, well, now big dog, but just simple things like that where we can just look at our lives and be like, wow, this is just amazing to me that the Lord can work through the different situations. And you're like, well, how does the Lord know what we need? You know, I mean, I'm my own person. I know what I need. I mean, I like video games. You know, I like going, you know, go-kart racing or whatever. Does the Lord really know that? Of course he does. He made us. It's kind of like the analogy where if I take modeling clay and I'll take a blue modeling clay and I make a blue fox. Like, why a blue fox? I don't know. I like foxes, and if it was blue, I'd probably make one. So, here's this blue fox, and I call him Bernard. Bernard the blue fox. And I say, I am your creator, Bernard. You should be worshiping me, not anything else. I go through all these lists of different things that he should and shouldn't do. And at first, he's like, okay. All right, that's okay with me. But as time goes on, you know, you find Bernard start worshiping, you know, little green G.I. Joe action figures. You're like, Bernard, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're not supposed to be doing that. He's like, yeah, but I mean, this guy's like right here always with me. You know, he has a gun. He can protect me. What's so bad about that? I'm like, Bernard, I mean, I could squish that little toy figure like I could squish you. That's why I'm not God, because I would be squishing things all around. But it's just, why are you doing that, Bernard? You know, just like boggles your mind. Like, I'm so big. I made you. I know what you need. You know, I don't want you to go in water because then you'll get all slimy and goopy and you'll just get all messed up. I just don't want you to do it. And he goes playing like the toilet bowl. Why are you doing that, Bernard? You know, it's just different things like that. It's just kind of how the Lord looks at us. Like, I want you to do these certain things, but, you know, sometimes we just go our own way and do different things. And in the story of Jeremiah, it's kind of funny because that's basically what the children of Israel are doing. They're just worshiping these idols, doing sinful things, and the Lord warned them time and time and time again not to be doing this. And finally, the Lord's just like, man, Babylon's going to come. They're going to take you over. You know, you're going to be captured. Don't fight, because if you fight, you'll die. If you don't, then you'll just go into captivity for, you know, 70-odd years. And you'll be fine, but you'll be in captivity because, you know, you've sinned against me and all this different stuff. And you're like, man, why would the Lord put them in captivity in Babylon of all places? Babylon was kind of a place where, man, there'd just be idols all around, just pagan worship and all this stuff. And it's kind of like the Lord's just like, you want idols? I'll give you idols, you know, just fill you up until you're just sick of it kind of thing. And it just reminds me of the story of, man, black licorice. I used to love black licorice. Yeah, people are like, no. Yeah, I don't like it anymore. I'll tell you why. See, I used to love black licorice. Little squares of black licorice, actual licorice that's black. I mean, come on. It was just good to me. So one day I was just, you know, hanging out with my friend and he's spending the night. And I'm like, man, I really like black licorice. He's like, you really do? He's like, I mean, I can stand it, but it's not like, oh, I love it. So I'm like, let's go to Winco and we'll get a ton of black licorice. I'm like, yeah. Let's do that. So we go to Winco. We just get bulk after bulk of just everything black licorice we can find. And that night, I just chow down on it. Just chow and chow. And the next day, I was just so sick of black licorice that I'd never even want to look at a black licorice anything ever again. And it's just kind of what the Lord's doing with the children of Israel. It's like, man, you want these idols, I'm going to give you idols until you're sick of it, and you just come back to me. A good verse for that is Jeremiah 24, verse 7, if you guys want to jot that down. And it just talks about how basically the Lord, sure, the Lord is going to have different things happen to us, but he wants us to return to him with a full heart for him. It's the whole, you know, rubber band theology. The further you get away from him, the more it's going to snap back towards him. You know, you just run with all your might, and then you just go flying back towards him. It's just kind of the, you know, thing that the Lord wanted the Jews to do right there. And so, just even after that, even in captivity, the Lord still blessed the children of Israel, the Jews, within that captivity. And you're like, well, they're in captivity. It was kind of, you know, a bad time. They're in prisons and stuff. I'm like, no. See, Babylon was a different kind of city and just culture. They would take, you know, the brightest and the best of everything, and they'd just basically give them homes, they'd give them food, and they'd just basically lift them up within their culture. And basically, they'd be like, I'm not a Jew, I'm a Babylonian right now, you know? And just basically, the culture would just engulf them, basically. And so there's that, but there's also sometimes they would just be brutal to these people and just be killing them, put them in prisons, not feed them, and just basically starve to death, different things like that. And you're like, how could something good kind of come out of something that bad? You know, and some of the best Bible stories come out of that time where they're in Babylon. You know, one of the big ones, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, Rakshak and Benny, they're in this group of people, and basically, man, Nebuchadnezzar raises up this statue. We looked at this on Wednesday night with James, but man, they basically just would not bow down to this idol because they're like, man, this is why we're here in the first place. We shouldn't be going around worshiping idols when the Lord didn't tell us to or anything like that. We should be worshiping God and only God. So, you know, Nebuchadnezzar throws him in the furnace. They're okay. Jesus is in there with them. And basically, after they come out, you know, Nebuchadnezzar just raises them up in power even more than they were. It's just great Bible stories like that. You know, the writing on the wall with Daniel, you know, and Belshazzar, you know, kind of, you know, messed his pants because he saw this ghost hand writing on the wall. You know, it just a little depends action right there. And so, you know, just great stories. Daniel in the lion's den. happened when, you know, Daniel was in that, you know, culture of Babylon, and just great stories of how the Lord can carry through people through different situations. It's just really encouraging to, you know, everyone, especially, you know, like when you're a kid and you hear all these Bible stories about, you know, just lions and just different stuff like that. You're like, wow, this is awesome. And that all came out of a bad situation where the children of Israel were in Babylon and just in captivity. And so even though they're in captivity, the Lord can, you know, use them and stuff. And you're like, well, how do we know that the Lord is going to use us for something good? How do we know that he's just not punishing us? You know, and just very sneer towards God. But see, God made us, you know, in Isaiah, I think it's 64 verse 8, somewhere around there. But it says basically that the Lord is the master potter and we are the clay. It's just the Lord makes us, you guys. He's the creator of all things. If you believe Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, you can basically believe all this other stuff. And so, you know, he created us. He knows what we need. He knows, you know, everything about us. It's like he's outside of our whole time zone, basically, out of our whole time and space limitations. It's like, you know, we're in this parade, basically. And, you know, we start out going through this parade, and Jesus, God, is up in this blimp, and he can see the beginning, he can see the end, and he can see where we are right now in this parade, basically. And he knows that, you know, what happens back here will affect what happens up here. Sometimes we're just like, oh man, you know, I've messed up. I've gone away from the will of the Father. I've gone away from different stuff and I've messed up. And that's not kind of the way the Lord thinks of things. He thinks of them as quick to turn back to him, basically. The prodigal son is a perfect example of this. And Luke chapter 15, it talks about, you know, this son, basically the youngest son of this guy who is very wealthy, asking for his inheritance, and just basically took his inheritance and just went off and just never to be seen again. And so he basically lives the sinful life and just does all the sinful stuff. And finally, you know, there's famine in the land, and he finally is like stuck where he doesn't have any more money because he's spent it all before. He's living basically with the pigs, eating slop. And if you guys ever seen what pigs eat, it's probably the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. It's like spoiled milk, stale bread. I mean, it's just the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. But he's basically sitting there with the pigs in the mud, eating this slop, basically. He's like, he finally sobers up because he's been, you know, just drinking and partying and all that stuff before then. Finally, he's all sober, eating the slop. He's just goop running down his face. He's like, what am I doing? What am I doing? You know, the servants in my father's house are eating so much better than I am. They have houses. He treats them nicely. And so he gets this idea that he's going to go and basically ask to be a servant to his father, which is just amazing to me. You know, he doesn't go back and just say, you know, Father, I've sinned. It's just, he has his mindset like, oh man, my dad's going to be so mad at me, you know, from what I've done. But so he goes and he starts walking up. He's like, he's getting all ready. He's like, man, I'm just going to become a servant for my dad, basically, and just live under him. And finally, it says that his father saw him from far off and ran out towards him. And it's a perfect picture of how God is quick to turn and forgive us of all of our sins, you guys. And so it's just like, this is the only time in the Bible where we see God in a hurry, is when he sees someone turn away from him, go the completely opposite way, and then come back to him, is when he's quick to forgive us, which is a really cool thing to me. So another passage, if you guys want to turn to Psalm 139, we're going to be in verse 17 and 18. This is one of the greatest, you know, verses in the Bible of how the Lord thinks of us. And it says in verse 17 of Psalm 139, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more than the number of the sand. When I wake, I am still with thee. And it's like, man, the Lord thinks all these thoughts towards us. And I was looking up, like, how much sand is in the earth. Like, how many grains of sand is that? And it says it's 10 to the 22nd power, which is one with a 22 zeros after it, which is 100 billion times 100 billion That's how many grains of sand there are. That's how many thoughts that the Lord thinks towards us. And in Jeremiah 29:11, we see that all those thoughts are of good and of just the Lord wanting us to follow His will and to just come after Him with all of our hearts and just turn back to Him if we've gone astray. And so another one, if you guys want to turn to Matthew 26. And here in verse 39, it's where Jesus is basically praying before he's taken away to be crucified up on the hill. And he just says this simple prayer. It says, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, as I will, not as I will, but as thou, your will be done.'" So basically, you know, this is the biggest moment in Jesus' life. You know, he's done all these amazing miracles and hasn't done anything wrong. And he knows, basically, tonight's the night where they're coming for him. Tonight's the night where they're going to take him away into captivity. They're going to beat him up and they're basically going to kill him. And it's just this simple prayer that, I mean, he doesn't go into this long, you know, 3-hour prayer about how if the Lord should save him or not or different things. He just says, not my will, but your will. If it's possible to save me from this pain and agony, then do it. But not my will, but your will. And we see that just, man, it's just a perfect prayer of how when we go through hard times, when we go through hard things, that the Lord just is quick to just let His will be done, basically, in our lives if we ask for it. And it's just an amazing thing. If you guys want to turn open to Romans 5. It's going to be our last passage. So basically, Jesus was, you know, basically about to be in this huge tribulation, this huge trouble, and this huge just mess of things. And so in chapter 5, verse 3 in Romans, it says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." And it goes on saying, you know, patience works, you know, experience, hope, and so on and so on. And it's just saying, man, we should rejoice when those bad things happen to us. We should rejoice when, man, people are just making fun of us. We should rejoice when we're getting beat up. Why? Because it just all works out for the will of the Father in our life. You know, we may not understand, again, just what's happening to us right now, different situations, you know, if, you know, you're going through bankruptcy or, you know, trouble with family or anything like that. We may not know or see what happens right now. But as time goes on and we see and we just have faith in the Father, it's just one of the coolest things to work out or see how He works through those situations and just make Him better in the end and make Him better for us and just see how, you know, without that situation, we couldn't be where we are today. Which is an amazing, amazing thing. And, you know, I've talked to some people, just, they think they've messed up so bad. They think they've messed up just time and time again so much to where, man, they've fallen out of the will of the Father. I'm just like, no, that's not how it works, you guys. The will of the Father is always that you just follow Him. Just love God with all your heart and just follow after Him with all your strength. That's all that the Father wants us to do. You know, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter, you know, just the things that you've done, things that you thought even. It doesn't matter. It just all comes back. Everything comes back. Just accepting Jesus in your heart and just having Him just forgive you of those sins, just the things that, you know, you thought could never be forgiven. It says in the Bible that all manner of sin is forgiven except for one, which is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is basically just rejecting Jesus and rejecting what He's done on the cross. Basically, I think until the point of death where you actually die and have never accepted Jesus into your heart, that's, you know, the unpardonable sin where, you know, Jesus just, when you get up there, Jesus will just be like, "Depart from me. I never actually knew you. I never had a relationship with you." You know, when you accept Jesus in your heart, He forgives you for all those sins, all those things that you've done or thought or anything like that. And, you know, when you get out there, He says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Even if you've lived just in the filth like the prodigal son has and just lived sin to its fullest, basically, He's quick to forgive you and just will forgive you of anything, basically. So that's just all I wanted to share with you guys today. It's just quick and to the point. But if you guys would just bow your heads and close your eyes with me.